The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the station, the university, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information on this show, visit KUCI.org. You're listening to In the Garden on 88.9 FM KUCI Irvine. I'm your host, Bill Brooks, University of California Master Gardener. Today we are fortunate to talk with Diane Blazek of National Garden Bureau. This nonprofit organization exists to educate, inspire, and motivate people to increase the use of garden seeds, plants, and products. The National Garden Bureau came of age during World War II when the government encouraged homeowners to grow victory gardens. And this is when founder James Burdett published a book, The Victory Garden Manual, to aid home gardeners in creating successful gardens. Welcome, Diane. Please tell us a little about yourself and your role in the National Garden Bureau, as well as a little more about the Bureau itself.
Well, thank you for having me. And yes, I am the luckiest person in the world because I get to hold the job of Executive Director for National Garden Bureau. And what does that mean? It means that I have a very wide range of responsibilities and job duties, but all of them are just super fun because I get to talk about new plant varieties, talk about things that have been trialed, give interviews like this. I give in-person presentations. So, I mean, really, what's not to like?
Yes, that's true.
Day out talking about plants.
Fantastic. The National Garden Bureau awards plants by the year. There are Green Thumb winners and there's All America Selection, often called AAS winners. Please talk about the difference between the two of those.
Well, the All America Selection winners, that trialing program was founded in 1932. So it's been around a long time. And we have professional volunteer judges who trial new, never-before-sold varieties and determine if they have superior garden performance. So that's the All America Selections trial and how things become AAS winners. The Green Thumb is, I guess we can call it our infant program of National Garden Bureau. And this is also new varieties, and they are not trialed in ground. They are voted upon by the industry as well as by the general public. So we have two categories in Green Thumb. One is called Professional's Choice and one is called the People's Choice. And we've only been doing that for 3 years, even though it was founded by another association about 15 years ago, but we just took it on 3 years ago. So that's the difference between the two. One is the plants are actually trialed. The other one, they're voted upon based on how innovative they are.
Well, that's interesting. So they actually trial the plants to become an AAS winner. And so how long does it take for a cultivar to become an AAS winner and selection?
It probably takes longer than most people realize. From the day of entry, which our entry deadline is always in the fall, until we get the scores back, it's exactly a year because all of our scores are due back by October 1st. And that's just for our annuals and our edibles. We also have a perennial category. Now that one is like a 4-year time frame because it's actually entered and then trialed over 3 winters. And then we get the scores in and analyze which things can be a perennial winner. So it's either a year or it's 4 years. But then also what's interesting is once something has scored high enough to be a potential winner, that breeder may wait a year or 2 years to accept the award. They have to accept in 3 years if they're going to. So again, that extends that time frame even a little bit longer.
So it's testing and it's by the breeders and it's at the breeder's lab site, if you will, where they're growing and testing. And so they could have trying these plants a lot longer before the time they actually submit it to become an AAS winner.
Right. And actually, the breeder, yes, they do their own trials and then submit it to the All America Selections trials. And our trials are all over. We have, seed retailers that will trial them, like a Territorial Seed. We have public gardens, like a Dallas Arboretum. They're a trial site. We have actual growers. So the types of judging sites and the types of judges there's a wide variety.
I see. And so how long could the public expect to find these in their local nursery or garden center?
Well, once they're declared an AAS winner, they are available immediately. Now, well, I say immediately, but of course, you know, there is a chain of distribution. So let's say you announce something today and you're looking for it at your local retailer. First of all, it has to go to the broker, and then the grower has to buy it, and then that retailer has to get that plant and put it in their nursery. So for things that we announce in the fall, like the fall 2023 winters, we actually call them 2024 because that's the first year you will see them in your local garden center.
Okay, that's fantastic. So let's talk about a few of these plants today, which is really exciting, and I've been looking on the web, and there's just some cool things that have come up. And Orange County is in zone 10B or 10A, as our temperature rarely falls below 30 degrees Fahrenheit, which for those of you in Celsius, that would be 1.7 degrees. We can grow an awful lot here. And I see there's two AAS selections this year in broccoli, both Sky Tree and Purple Magic. Now, Sky Tree we're not going to talk about because it's not ripe for the Orange County climate zone, but Purple Magic sure is, and that plant really intrigues me. So tell me a little bit about Purple Magic.
This is one of those things that if you saw pictures, it would be a lot easier to explain, but let's give it a whirl here.
Okay.
The name of it, Purple Magic. So you have the stem, and it is very, very purple. And then you have the actual head of the broccoli, and those little florets are purple also, you know, some green undertones. So the great thing about this is it's unique. I always love to grow unique things in my garden. It is very easy to grow, and it is productive, and it tastes wonderful. One of our judges said, boy, this is just the nicest broccoli that I've ever grown. So, you know, sometimes when you start putting these unique colors in, it might impact the taste in a negative way, but it looks like it is impacted it in a positive way with Purple Magic broccoli.
Well, and you know, anytime you do that, and we have a lot of our listeners are grow school gardens, for example, and anytime you can put in something like that that's unique, that kids are going to go, oh, it's purple, they'll actually, you know, they'll try it. They'll be more inclined to try it. And two, another hint for our Southern California listeners is you may be able to grow this right in if you have a formal landscape. You don't necessarily have to do this in a vegetable garden. So that might be something to consider. Can you give us any tips on growing broccoli? Because we can plant it and grow it here in Southern California now. And I know you're back in Chicago where you have to grow this in the spring.
Right. And so what's interesting is we're coming off of 2023 being the year of the broccoli. That's another program that we do here at National Garden Bureau. We have the Year Of program. And we had some broccoli breeders and experts on a webinar this past summer. And what they were telling me is that, you know, yes, in cold weather climates like ours, you would want to transplants in the spring. However, try direct sowing some seed like midsummer. I think they were saying for us it would be July. I think for you guys it could be a little bit later. But if you just direct sow those seeds, it's kind of a no-brainer, super easy way to grow broccoli, and then you can harvest them as the season starts to cool down.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. So maybe our listeners, if they want to grow this cultivar, they want to look for it in seed. And again, that is Purple Magic that they want to look in their seed catalogs and see if it's available. And so I see that a Celosia cultivar is a winner. Many of you know this plant as Feather Coxcomb, as the blooms look just like a rooster's feathers. What's special about this Celosia Burning Embers, which I see is the winner?
Yeah, and here again, Burning Embers kind of tells you the look of it. So if you think of your campfire or your fireplace and the embers that are at the bottom, how they're kind of that glowy reddish orange, that is Seloja burning embers. That is the color of these plumes on there. Now, what is also nice is that it has some bronze foliage, and the bronze leaves then have that same kind of orangey, plummy red veins in the leaves. So that's great for looking at. It also does very, very well in heat and humidity because it was bred by an Asian seed company. And of course, they're dealing with a lot of heat and humidity. So their breeding work is going to do really well in the parts of the country that may have high heat and humidity.
And we don't get too much humidity here, but we do get heat in the summertime. So this is a good cultivar people might want to consider. And of course, with that foliage, there's a lot you can do with foliage to really make your garden pop. And of course, there's a geranium, Big Easy Pink Batik, and it has an amazing bloom. And so tell us a little bit about the bloom and the cultivar. And I know we're on radio, but I think we're getting a good idea of what things look like.
We will try to really put that picture into words. So Pink Batik, you know, think of batik fabric, how it has that coloration. Mm-hmm. So this Pink Batik, I would say basically it is a pink geranium bloom, but it has a lot of splashes of dark pink. I think that's the best way to describe it. Each little petal has either splotches or splashes or stripes or dots. So it's a real mosaic of colors. Ooh. On each bloom. The Big Easy series are just known for being very sturdy, very good performance, wonderful for containers. So you take that performance from that series and then add in these unique colorations, and that gives you Pink Batik. And what I wanted to add also, now this one is not grown from seed. It is a vegetative cutting. So you will not be able to find this in your seed packets or in the seed catalogs.
Okay.
You will find this only at your local garden center as a plant.
Okay, yeah, and it is one of those cultivars, and it does have to be propagated through cuttings. And the blooms, fortunately, geranium blooms last a while, and I'm trusting this bloom lasts for a couple weeks each.
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then with all geraniums, if you deadhead them, you will continue to get a flush of new blooms.
Okay. And I've seen Solarscape Impatiens coming on the market here in Orange County, which is exciting because our zone, we can't grow impatiens, but the Solarscape are promising. Because tell us a little bit about the Solarscape variety and about the winter Pink Jewel.
Yeah, it sounds like this one was created specifically for you guys in Southern California.
Awesome.
So it is an impatient that does well in the sun and heat. So yes, Solarscape, this one's called XL. It has nice, large pink, iridescent pink blooms. Now it's called Solarscape XL Pink Jewel. But if you can envision a very vibrant, like I said, iridescent, pinkish lavender bloom, that's what you're going to get on this impatient. And it has very dark foliage. So it just looks healthy all the time, and a nice contrast between the dark foliage and those iridescent blooms.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. And of course, here in Orange County, the closer to the coast you are, the more in the sun, in full sun, you can put your impatiens. The further you are inland, you want these plants to get part shade during the day, even though they're Solarscape, because our sun is so intense here. So I see we have a new pepper variety as one of the winners, and peppers grow well in Southern California. So I know our listeners are going to enjoy hearing about the ASS Selection Pepper Red Impact.
So this AAS winner, it's a Lamayo type pepper. And what that is an extra large red pepper. And I'm going to go back to some of the webinars that we had this past year, and we had some pepper experts on, and they were kind of laughing like, oh yeah, you know, hot peppers are super easy to grow. Just notoriously, it's really easy to grow a hot pepper. A sweet pepper is harder for home growers. Mm. So here then comes along not only a red sweet pepper, but it's a Lamayo type. And those notoriously have been hard to grow, but this one is super large, super thick walled. So you're just getting a lot of bang for the buck. You know, you're getting a nice large pepper with a huge yield. It is a hybrid. Like you said, it's called Red Impact. So this is definitely on my list to try this year because I'm kind of a failure when it comes to sweet peppers. I can grow hot peppers, just like our experts were saying, but I really want to try this one because they talk about how easy it is to grow.
So compared to a bell pepper being the lowest heat level of a pepper, where do you know where this is on the heat
right
range?
There. Like zero heat. It is a sweet pepper.
It's completely sweet. Good.
Yes.
So those people that have that taste sensitivity where they're get bothered by the heat, then this is the pepper for them to grow. And I would, again, look for this in seed before you look for it in the six packs. I think you'd be more likely to find it there. So let's talk about the beautiful deep pink Pekoa cultivar called Inva Pink. Pekoas are hybrids between petunias and calabrosas, calabrocas. I think I got it right. So tell us a little bit about this cultivar.
Yes, I'm so glad that you did the introduction because that is what is unique, is that it is a petunia and calabrocoa cross, and you kind of get the best of both worlds. So you get the beauty, the large flowers of the petunia, but then some of the things with the calabrocoa that are really nice is they don't have that sticky foliage, they don't have to be deadheaded, and they have a lot of durability. So with this, we do have Inviva Pink, and I think it's pretty much as you would envision Inviva, as a nice, deep, vibrant pink colored flower, and it has a beautiful yellow throat on it. So you've got that contrast. Again, this one has a little bit of iridescence, so I think this is a year of iridescent flowers.
Colors.
But yeah, this one will just be all season long, and these Pekoas are fabulous for containers. More and more people are planting in containers. So as long as you water it enough, you know, it will do great in container, but it does do well in the landscape also.
So I would imagine that it's one that drapes over the container, and you can have these just in a container by themselves. And the hotter the summer temperatures are, then you would need to increase your water.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes what makes a container easy because you can direct the water right to it. No deadheading, no stickiness, so it's not going to attract ants as much. And that sounds like a winner to me, that's for sure. And I would look for this both probably already growing in the nursery, but I'm sure you could get them from seeds as well. Although it might be a little easier, I would assume, to grow this already as a plant.
And actually, sorry, I did not mention that this one is vegetatively propagated.
Okay.
So it will not be available from seed, but yes, okay. It will be readily available in plant form.
And as a lot of these cultivars are, they don't produce seeds. That's one of the things when we breed them enough, and they only are vegetatively propagated. And so that's something to look for. So you kind of have to know which is which. And that's something by going to the website that you can. In fact, tell us a little bit about the website to learn more a little bit about these plants.
We have two URLs that'll direct you, and hopefully they're both easy to remember. So AAS Winners will get you there. Also, the official full name, All-America Selections, and it's .org. We're a nonprofit organization. So either one of those will get you to our website, and the main front page, in fact, it'll probably pop up if you're a first-time visitor, will say, hey, everybody else who comes to our website wants to look for AAS Winners. Is that what you want to look for? And you click on it, and it'll take you to AAS Winners. Yeah. And so every single winner has its own web page, and all the details are there. These newest winners, we as of yet do not have retail links. This is the time of year where all the catalogers and websites are putting their new varieties out. So
yeah, they're getting ready.
Exactly. So right in the beginning of the new year, we'll start finding out which seed companies are having these available for seed. With the vegetative varieties, you just, you know, ask for them at your local garden center. But anyway, all that information, how to grow it, even if your listeners want to, if they've raised something, if they've grown, you know, in Viva Pink and they want to put a review, they can put a review on there. So all that information is on our website. In addition, we have what we call AAS display gardens, and we have a few in California. I wish we had more if anybody's listening.
Okay.
These are public gardens. Sometimes it's extension, master gardener, demo gardens. We also have garden centers where they will grow out the AAS winters. We provide the seeds and plants at no charge. They grow the winters, and then the public can go
see them.
So,
yeah.
Right. So maybe somebody wants to look at them for a while before they actually grow them in their own garden, and that's a way to see them and see how they're performing.
Yeah, that is, and we'll mention the website a couple more times in the show if you didn't get that, so we'll go back to that. There's a marigold winter this year called Siam Gold. It's my understanding that this flower does not need to be staked, and it may also be used as a cut flower indoors. So tell us about this winter.
Exactly. So I had mentioned earlier the celosia is bred in Asia, and this one too. This comes from a Thai seed company. And so again, heat and humidity, very resistant. It has huge blooms. They're a golden color. I would say they're, if they're not double, they're almost fully double. So it almost looks like those old-fashioned mums we used to, you know, make croissants out of for homecoming. And you're right, they also could be cut and brought indoors. So yeah, it's just like this massive ball of color on top of the foliage. And that's another thing with marigolds. There's some marigolds out there that kind of, they bloom and then get covered up by the foliage. That's not what we want. We want the blooms to sit on top of the foliage.
So that takes a little bit of cleverness and breeding to get the plant to do. Do these attract a lot of snails, do you know?
Oh, I do not know that, sorry.
That's okay. But that's something to look for with marigolds. And you can see the trail in the morning to see if you have a snail problem with them.
Right.
So
if
I see that and snails can be a problem here in Southern California. So I see that a petunia cultivar, Sure Shot White, is bulletproof. So what makes this bulletproof?
Well, again, it's all about the breeding. So what they're going to do is they're going to be breeding for vigor, withstanding wind, rain, things like that. So the Sure Shot series is one of those series that's what they're really focusing on. By the way, then, it also has a huge number of flowers. These are a really pure white flower. They've got just a touch of a light green throat on them. This one, too, is vegetatively propagated. You won't find it from seed. Readily available at retail. So what you're doing is just looking for Sure Shot. There's a whole series of them. White is the AAS winner. Great for containers.
And is it, how long do the blooms last on these, roughly?
Pretty much like any petunias. You know, they'll kind of depending on your weather conditions, but they will last quite a while, and then they just kind of keep, I hate to use this phrase, but it's kind of an industry terminal, they cover the dead. So what they do is they just keep reflushing with blooms that kind of cover the old blooms. If you want a deadhead, you can, but if you want a low maintenance plant, you don't have to deadhead this one.
So you don't, and it, so it's kind of self, and the stickiness, is that a problem with these, or is this like the other cultivar in the pink?
Well, the other being a cross between a petunia and calibrachoa does not have that stickiness. This is a typical petunia.
Typical, okay.
I'm sure they're trying to breed some of that out, but there's only so much you can do when it's a petunia. It has the petunia genetics in it.
Okay, fantastic. So we've wrapped up the AAS winners, which you should be able to find in your favorite nursery or garden center this year. And again, Diane, tell us a little bit more if people want to learn about the website and they want to go and learn about these plants. Tell us the website again and how to find it so that people know where to go.
Yes, You can go to any search engine, or you can type it right into the URL bar. So it would be aaswinners.com or all-americaselections.org.
Fantastic. So we know where to go. And we have time to discuss some of the Green Thumb Award winners. And so let's remind our listeners again a little bit more about the Green Thumb winners and who votes on them and how a plant becomes a Green Thumb winner.
Okay. So with National Garden Bureau, we have members, and some of the members are breeding companies. So just like we were talking about with All America Selections, these breeding companies, and it can be a retailer, will submit some of their new varieties for inclusion in this competition, this voting competition, which is the Green Thumb Award. And what we're looking for is innovation, like things about that plant or product that will make your garden better, make it easier in the garden, or offer up something that just hasn't been there before. And the Green Thumb Award, we've been doing this for 3 years, but it's about 15 years old. And there's two categories. One is called People's Choice, and that's where the public votes on these. We put out the votes in November. We kept the voting open about 2 weeks. Then we gathered the votes, and these are the winners in the People's Choice category. And then we did the same thing with industry. Mm-hmm. So we opened it up to our members, who are professional companies, you know, within the horticulture industry, and they voted on them. And it's interesting because there's two categories that the winner was the same on the People's Choice and the Professional's Choice. In some categories, they were different, but that was kind of interesting to see.
So tell us about when you're in the garden center, how do you tell if a plant is an AAS winner or is a Green Thumb Award winner? How are the plants marked?
Good question. With the AAS winners, there will be a number of ways. More than likely, it'll be on the little plant tag. I'm holding up my fingers. These plant tags are usually about 4 inches tall, okay, maybe an inch wide. That's the basic tag. Some of them have larger tags, but you'll see our little logo. So our logo is a little round red circle with blue lettering AAS on it, and then it'll have a banner across it that says winner. So typically it will be on those little tags. Sometimes it might be on the pot. We do have some pots that some retailers use. They may have a special display of it. They may put a poster. We've got posters on our website that retailers can download and print. So there's a number of ways, but it's really a basic red, white, and blue logo for AAS winners. That's what they would look for.
Okay, and the Green Thumb Award winner, what does that look like?
Well, we've got a really cool logo, but it is a brand new logo. And like I said, this program is only 3 years old. Mm-hmm. You probably will not see that logo at retail. We're working on it, but like I said, it's so new that not everybody has that on their tags yet. So you're probably just going to have to look at the NGB website, which is ngb.org, search for the Green Thumb winners, and you're probably just going to have to ask for these by variety name.
Okay, and so we want to take a look at those. Is there a way for a gardener to get involved in the Green Thumb process and become part of the voting and testing?
Yes. Okay. There's a couple ways. We are very active on social media. So either on Instagram or Facebook, follow us on YouTube, go to our website, sign up for our newsletter. And at the appropriate time, which, like I said, was in November, you will see on social media, or you will get an email saying, hey, it's time to vote on this year's Green Thumb nominees.
And then people can actually vote on them. And can they test them at all themselves?
No, we do not have any kind of a testing program. I mean, okay. Yeah, once they're a winner and if they're available at your local market, then yes, you can try them and you can do your own kind of testing on them. But these do not have a trialing program attached to them.
Okay, fantastic. So this is our mid-show break here, and I need to remind everybody that the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the station, the university, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information on this show, visit kuci.org. You're listening to 88.9 KUCI FM in Irvine. This is In the Garden, and we're talking about Green Thumb and All-America Selection Plant Choices with Diane Blazek from the National Garden Bureau. So she's going to tell us a little bit more. We have plenty of time, I think, to talk about our Green Thumb Award winners. And we may even get into some of them that don't grow as well in Southern California, but I want to start with Echeveria Coral Reef Red. This is a houseplant winner, but in Southern California, we're lucky enough that we can grow Echeveria outdoors year-round because our temperatures don't get that cold. So tell us a little bit about what's special about this plant.
Yes, I was thinking that when we were beginning to talk about it, I'm like, oh, you guys are so lucky you can keep that outdoors. So it's like you say, it's an Echeveria. So it's a very succulent looking plant, I guess you can call it a succulent. And it is, again, the name just describes it, coral reef red. So think of you're going snorkeling, you look down, you see this beautiful dark burgundy coral. That's what this plant looks like. So I can just envision it, like if somebody had it indoors and they had children and maybe they wanted to put their fish tank in front of it or behind it or something. It would just it makes a great story. But it's got the ruffly edges. It has some nice size leaves on it. But it's so unique. And I think some of the reasons that some of us garden is because we want the unique. We want to have our friends and family over and we can say, oh, look at this. So it's got a great color, it's got a great story, it's got a great look. We would have it outdoors and bring it inside over the winter. You guys can keep it outdoors all winter long.
Yeah, these grow quite well in Southern California. And as I look at this, it's a beautiful plant with those ruffles around the edges. We even have some gardens here, and particularly at SeaWorld, where they've made a whole coral reef looking garden all out of echeverias and other succulent plants. It's quite interesting to see. If you're growing this plant indoors, what are the light requirements? How close to a say a south window, do I want to get this?
I would say you would need it in a fairly bright south window. It does, it will grow in the shade, so it's pretty tolerant, really.
Okay, so experiment with it both indoors and outdoors. And so that's something good. If you have part shade outdoors here in Orange County, you may want to try this plant. And I also see the good news is it is drought tolerant. So that would be indoors or outdoors. So I would say maybe you want to water this indoors maybe every other week, if not every
If
3 weeks.
not less,
Yeah, if not less, maybe even once a month.
right. That's one of those things that you don't need to over baby this because if you do, you might lose it. So
Right.
maybe treat it with a little neglect, and I think it will do well for you.
Yeah, that probably will. So here in Southern California, if you have sprinklers, if you have irrigation, you probably want to turn it off around this plant because again, the way to kill it is through overwatering it. That would be for sure. So we have some time and we'll continue to talk about the Green Thumb Award winners. And I'm intrigued with Cucumber Quick Snack. And so tell us, this is a edible variety, and tell us a little bit about this particular plant. It sounds great.
Yes. So it's from a line, a series called Kitchen Minis, and that is exactly what it sounds like. You can grow these indoors. Now, this cucumber, there are cucumbers out there that are parthenocarpic, and so that means it does not need pollination to set fruit. So in this instance, yes, you can grow it outdoors. It'll be fine. It's very, very compact. I think it gets to like 18 to 24 inches tall is all. And you can grow it in a smallish container. I would put it on a trellis, just because then it's going to it's going to be healthier, look better, be easier to harvest. And it produces like little cocktail size cucumbers. And like I said, you can grow it indoors or out. Nice compact plant, small size fruits, which I like to talk about. Small size fruits, personal size produce is a trend we've been seeing for easily like the last 5 years. Families are getting smaller. Maybe you don't want this huge, you know, 10-inch cucumber. You want the smaller ones. Maybe you prefer the taste of the smaller cucumbers. So Quick Snack would fill the bill on all of those. And here's what's interesting. This is, and the Echeveria are the two that won not only in the People's Choice, but also in the Professional's Choice.
Oh,
so it won
good to know.
Both categories, yes.
So about how much fruit can I expect from a plant? Have you looked into that at all?
They describe it as handfuls. So
okay.
I think, you know, it's kind of hard to make a promise. You
it
never
is hard,
know.
Right.
Yeah, you know, what size pot are you growing it in and what's your heat level, et cetera, et cetera. I do know that you can get fruit very quickly. It says you can get fruits 4 weeks after sowing the seed.
Oh,
so
my
that
gosh,
is how
yeah.
quick it is, yes.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful plant. And this is another one, again, that I would recommend to people to mix in with your landscape, not necessarily to put it in a garden bed. And it looks like the soil needs, it might work in your regular landscape too, as well as in a raised bed. In California, we grow a lot of our vegetables in raised beds because most of us have pretty heavy clay soils. And so we want to get the right amount of drainage and soil. And what about the water needs of this plant?
Just keep it consistently damp. You know, don't overwater, don't underwater, just be consistent. That's one of the nice things. If you're growing it indoors, you can really regulate the amount of water. Outdoors, well, if you get a rain, then you have to adjust your watering accordingly.
Yeah, summer rain is pretty rare. We had some summer rain last August because we had the remnants of a hurricane. So we actually did get rain in August, which is very unusual for us. So most of our summer irrigation in Orange County is done purposefully, either by hand or by timers and sprinklers. So one of the things that grows well in Orange County are agapanthus. And agapanthus, or lily of the Nile, are one of the Green Thumb Award winners. I see that this particular flower is beautiful and purple, almost black. It's called Agapanthus Blackjack. And so please give us some additional information on this beautiful flower and plant.
Well, this one, you have pretty much honed in on exactly what it was that was making it unique, is that color of flower. So it is the dark purple blooms on this. And you know agapanthus, you know how well they'll grow.
Mm-hmm.
This one, semi-dwarf. And when I say that, the advantage when people talk about semi-dwarf is that they have bred it to just be a little bit sturdier, which if you've got sturdier stems, then it's not going to bloom and flop over from top-heavy blooms or anything. So yeah, these will give you some blooms for a long time, dark bluish purple blooms, does well containers or in ground, and it's just an impressive color of agapanthus.
Yeah, it is beautiful when you look at it on the site. And I see it does well both in full sun and in partial sun. And so maximum, it looks like it's going to grow to about 24 inches. And watering, I would say it would need medium amount of watering. You can tell by looking at agapanthus, their leaves will start to droop if they're not happy with the water they're getting. And of course, that's time to give them that. And so tell us about the petunias, which are a plum cockatoo, and their greenish bloom color. That looks like an intriguing plant. And it looks like a basket plant too as well.
Yes, yes. They did provide an image of it in a basket. So it does well there. It will do well in the landscape. It will do well in containers. But plum cockatoo petunia. So if you imagine this flamboyant cockatoo with all their feathers, that really describes this petunia very well. It's a greenish bloom, so kind of chartreusey lime green, and then it gets, and that's on the edges, and then it gets a little bit lighter, and then you have this vibrant, flamboyant, dark purple throat with the veins coming out on the green petals of the petunia. And then the edges of the petunia are all ruffly. So I just think flamboyant is the best way to describe this, right?
It has everything going for it. As I look at this, it's an absolutely gorgeous flower. And again, it would grow quite well here in Southern California. And as I look at some of these, and so we definitely have some time, so this will be fun because we can grow begonias here in Southern California. So I see you have Begonia Stonehenge Rose Bronze Leaf. Can you tell us a little bit more about the bronze leaf begonias?
Yeah, so the name of it, again, indicates what it's going to look like. Stonehenge, not Stonehenge, like the famous site over in the UK, but Stonehenge means that this begonia is going to produce a hedge. Rose is the color of the blooms on it. Bronze leaf, it's got that dark bronzy foliage. But when you look at the actual plant, or if you look at the photo, it's just amazing the number of flowers that are on there. So, you know, it's way more than 50% pink or rose colored when you look at it. And they will grow up to 4 inches tall. So that's pretty amazing for a begonia. And that's why it got its name of Stonehenge.
Interesting. I think I called it Stonehenge. And it looks so, it'll grow inches, or is that feet that I'm looking at?
We have it on both on our website. It will grow up to 48 inches, which is 4 feet. So yes,
whoa,
it is a very tall begonia.
So if you're using this in a layered garden, this is going to be a background plant, definitely. And that's kind of unusual. Now, that's something that intrigues me that I may want to experiment with, because we're used to begonias being maybe 12 to 14 inches at its total height. And I trust that it self-deadheads, so it'll bloom throughout the season.
Right, yes.
Also, too, full sun if you're to the coast in Orange County. Partial sun if you're into a hotter environment. And it's bushy, and a little bit about, like, the water needs are probably normal as I look at this plant, unless there's anything you can add about the water needs.
They did specify, and this will be important in the hotter areas of Orange County, avoid getting water on the leaves in the heat of the day.
Okay.
So that is for the health of the plant. They also suggest planting them about 18 to 24 inches apart. I mean, of course, they're great, and they will create this hedge. But with any kind of plant that might be prone to any kind of disease, you want to allow good airflow.
Okay. Even though it shows the hedging that it'll do, but that is out in the open. And so it's probably best to water very early in the morning here before the sun comes up in the summer months. And I'm looking at another winner, which is Catmint Chartreuse on the Loose. I love that name. And so tell us a little bit about this plant and where it grows. And the nice thing about this is a plant that is on the dry side. You don't have to overwater it. And so to give us a little information about this winter.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a theme going on as far as what people are looking for with plants is lower water needs, you know, with all the concern about water availability and everything. So yes, Catmint Chartreuse on the Loose. It is a perennial to zone 3. So for everybody else in the world who are not in a lovely California climate, it would do really well. The description again is good, chartreuse. So this one has a very bright green, chartreusey green foliage, and then it has the medium purple blooms, very covered with blooms, great for pollinators, so that's wonderful. Not need to be cut back, so it will bloom over and over throughout the summer. And I think other than that, like you mentioned, the water needs are pretty much dried normal. And, oh, height, it's actually pretty short. It's a 12-inch tall perennial.
Yeah, so this is going to be, this could be a good border plant as I see it. Yeah. And what I do like about it, that this might be something for people to get a good look at, is it's got that chartreuse green and that purple bloom. The plant pops. And again, when you're looking at those shades in of your leaf colors of greens, this might be something again that you can do to make your garden pop. So definitely consider it. Catmint, chartreuse, on the loose.
It rhymes.
It does rhyme. That's of everything, that's my favorite name.
Yeah.
Now, hydrangeas are on the list, and this is a big leaf hydrangea that I do want to talk about. We can grow hydrangeas in Southern California. They do grow here in full shade, close to the coast. And a lot of people still like them, especially if people come from other parts of the country where hydrangeas do grow. But they do take a lot of water. But again, if you're growing them, you could channel the water just to the plant. And this plant that I see has got this big leaf eclipse flowers. This has got a very unique color. So tell us a little bit about this plant.
Yeah, the name Eclipse is this hydrangea. It is the macrophylla, so it is a mop head hydrangea. And I don't know, something tells me that they should have put the word drama in the name of this, like Eclipse Drama or Drama Eclipse, because of the coloration. So if we can describe this, and you might have to help me. So the leaves are almost black. They are. Dark. They're almost black. And then the flowers, and they're, I'll call them red. So let's start with red. But you know how a hydrangea has all these little tiny flowers that make up this bloom
right.
head? So it's almost like a Picotee. So if you think of maybe like a dianthus that has a Picotee edge, this has vibrant cherry red edges on each flower petal that kind of fades to a nice creamy yellowish white center. And so if you just think, well, I've got black, I've got red, and then I've got this creamy white, I don't know what else you could do to get more contrast.
No,
that's
why I think
the drama is there.
Yeah, you look at the last plant we talked about, the catmint, and you look at this, the contrast is amazing. And I've never seen leaves quite this dark. And if you have a full shade kind of wet area, I would definitely plant this. I would definitely go to your favorite nursery and ask if they could order this for you, because out of all the hydrangeas I've seen, it by far is the most unique that I've ever seen. And it looks like it's going to get 3 to 4 feet in height. And it says water needs are normal, but again, it's recommended for zones 5 to 9, and us being in 10, we can grow it here, but you're going to have to increase the water and you're going to want a very well amended soil to be able to grow this. But if you're really into plants and you're a plant geek, this is one I don't think you can really pass up. And I am noticing on here one boxwood that I want to talk about, because we can grow boxwood and we do use boxwood as a border plant here. So this is called Better Boxwood Skylight. So go ahead and tell us about growing this boxwood.
Okay. Yes, Better Boxwood. And I'm not sure if you are experiencing the same boxwood blight as what we're getting in other areas of the country, but it's been devastating to a lot of boxwoods. And
okay.
So the breeders are trying to come up with something that will be resistant And this is one of the first ones that's been bred to be blight resistant. And there are four different varieties, and the one that won was called Skylight. So Skylight, luckily it's fast growing, medium green. You can do, prune it into a hedge, you can prune it into a ball. But the key thing here is that it is blight resistant and then fast growing.
And I'm noticing too with the foliage is a little bit more on the chartreuse side rather than a lot of boxwood that have that, shall I call, forest green color to it. So
Yeah, the real dark green waxy leaves.
it does have that one, and it'll go if you need it to. It will says it goes up to 6 feet. So if you could grow it as a small hedge if you wanted to screen something. And it's a dry to normal boxwood. Again, it's a little out of our zone, but I think it would work here. And
I think it would.
it is going to go to full, it, and it's going to grow in full sun. So I think that would also be something to look at. And I think I've skipped one plant, and that's the centaur. Am I saying this right? Centaurea, the bride.
Centaurea, the bride.
Okay.
So, in the professional's choice, we had a tie for the annual because I didn't even really talk about that. So we have an annual, an edible, a perennial, a flowering shrub, and a hard good. The Stonehedge that we talked about, the begonia, tied for first place with the Centaurea, the bride. And when I look at it, I shouldn't even say it. Okay, I will describe it as more like a dianthus. I was going to say a dandelion flower,
You know,
but
it
that's
looks
not
like
what
a
I meant.
dandelion to me. I think that that's absolutely fine to call it a dandelion.
Okay. So let's kind of call it a cross between a dandelion shape with the frilly edges of a dianthus.
Yes.
That might be is a better description, but it's white. It's an annual. You can grow this from seed, and it's different. You've talked about growing the unique, even the flowers that have not emerged. Sometimes flower blooms before they emerge and open up, or so what? This one just it has
Yeah, the bud looks like a turtle shell.
exactly. Yes,
Yeah.
that's a good way to describe it. So it's called the bride, but you could also call it the bride's turtle, the turtle bride. I don't
Yeah,
know.
you
Maybe.
could.
Too bad we aren't naming these flowers, right?
Right.
And the other thing about this one, it has a nice scent of vanilla. My
Ooh.
husband loves vanilla, so boy, he would love the smell of this flower.
Yeah, and I'm also seeing that the plant height, this is something interesting to look at. It goes 24 to 36 inches high, so it's going to give you some drama in the center of your garden to definitely look at. And so again, Diane, give us or the websites where people can go online and look at these beauties.
Our website, it's just the three initials. Well, we can call it an acronym for National Garden Bureau. So it's ngb.org. And when you go there, you just click on new plants, and there you can get a drop down for the Green Thumb Award winners. The other thing we have on our website is shop our members. And so that will list, about 50 or 60 online retailers. So if you are looking for some of the things you see on our website, those are the members that you can click on to find some of this information, but also just ask for it at your favorite garden retailer.
Yeah, and that's also a good thing. The other thing you'll find on the website that we didn't talk about today, there's a garden product that is always awarded, and in this case, it's a potting mix, and there's a garden tool too. And this looks like a very special auger. And if I'm looking at the picture right, does it go on the end of a drill to be able to drill a bulb hole? Is that what that tool does?
Yes, and it does even more than that. So it's called Power Planter, and they have a number of different things. This particular one is 36 inches long by 3 inches wide. So if you think of a 3-inch wide auger, that'll plant some pretty substantial bulbs. You could also to plant your annuals, maybe even some perennials, depending on what size pot. So it's kind of a multi-purpose tool. I know that they said for installing beach volleyballs or umbrellas.
Oh, there you go.
You're right there by the coast. I bet there would be a lot of people doing that. And the fact that it's 36 inches, you can put it on the end of a cordless drill. You're not going to have to bend over. I know that there are some planting augers that are pretty short, but then you're on your knees. And, you know, if you're unable to get down on the ground and back up again, this 36-inch auger would be really good.
Yeah, and that's something to definitely look at. So definitely look at the tools. Look at the garden soil product that you can find online. And if you go to National Garden Bureau, that's ngb.org, they have a lot of interesting things. You can find your climatic zone very easily by going on there. And so it's a great spot to explore and find out, along with what we do with Master Gardeners here in Orange County. So it very nicely dovetails into one another. So the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the station, the university, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information on this show, visit KUCI.org. You're listening to 88.9 KUCI in Irvine. This is In the Garden, and we've been talking about new plant cultivars with Diane Blazek of the National Garden Bureau. Thank you, Diane, for joining us today and sharing your knowledge. And you can learn more about the National Garden Bureau and All American Selection and Green Thumb winners again by visiting ngb.org.